Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. I hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Lutz in the previous half hour, and Pastor Rusnak will be following us here at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned for him as well. But in the meantime, sandwiched between the two of them, you've got me, and I hope you'll listen, and we're going to take a look at a couple of things that are happening here in the world around us, and I'm going to use as a jumping off point today Joshua chapter 13. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, let's open with a word of prayer, and we're going to get into some things here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody today. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to help believers in their walk with you. And just in all things, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blessings that we've enjoyed. And as we approach the 4th of July Independence Day holiday, celebrating the birthday of our country, our independence, Lord, again, help us to think of the greater Independence Day that we should all have, and that's knowing that we're saved. If we're saved, that we have an Independence Day where we've been declared free from sin, and we have a home waiting for us in heaven. Lord, we just pray that you just bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And let me wish you a happy and blessed Independence Day. Looks like the weather might be kind of nice, cool down a little bit from yesterday and today. But just the fact that we can celebrate the freedom that we have in this country. I know freedom's under assault. I'm just thankful that we've seen some recent decisions out of the United States Supreme Court that has upheld some freedoms. We'll mention and touch on a couple of those things. In the meanwhile, as I said when I was praying, greatest freedom that we can have and is to know that our sins are forgiven and that we have a home waiting for us with our Lord in heaven. And that comes from putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you know Christ, then you know true freedom. Jesus Christ came to set us free, and greater freedom than from political tyranny. He came to set us free from the fear of death, the fear of hell, and from the wages of sin. And we have freedom, true freedom in Christ. If you've put your faith in Christ as your Savior, you have been delivered. It's just a matter of time. You've been set free. It's just a matter of time before you'll be with your Savior. And hopefully that'll be soon. Look at the things happening, and it sure seems like the Lord's going to be coming back for us soon. And we pray that it's sooner than later. Well, I want to touch on some things here in Joshua chapter 13 to jump on off on that, on what's happening in the world. And again, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me, more about our church, the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. So check us out there, livewithpastoral.com. You can link to our church site. You can also listen to past programs. Again, thankful for Pastor Lutz allowing me to fill in for him last week in addition to our regular program. And I have not been able to get last week's programs uploaded yet, but we do have previous programs there at livewithpastoral.com. I think it goes back to the 12th of June right now is the latest program that's there. There's a number of other materials available on there, some articles that I've written over the years, and also, of course, some other links there, some materials you might find helpful. So check out at livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, you can listen to our Sunday night programs there as well. A lot of people say, well, Pastor Al, it's a little late. I try to stay up on Sunday night, and you come on at 11 o'clock. It's been a long day, and I'm asleep by 11:30. Well, you can listen to our Sunday night programs. We've got them available online at livewithpastoral.com. And here we have today some things happening in the world. And I was sitting here thinking about what's happening with the recent Supreme Court decisions, of course, the Dobbs decision and the overthrow of Roe v. Wade, and continue to celebrate that and continue to thank God and praise the Lord for that monumental decision. And then, of course, in addition to that, we had the prayer case where the high school football coach who was persecuted, really, it's religious persecution what it was. He lost his job because of praying after the game on the 50-yard line. And we got the great decision on Monday, a 6-3 decision, where the justices ruled that Joseph Kennedy, Coach Kennedy's conduct was protected by the First Amendment. The court rejected the public school district's argument that allowing Kennedy to pray on the 50-yard line following the games violated the Constitution's Establishment Clause, which bars the government from both establishing an official religion or preferring one above another. And you know, I thought about that for a moment, and I'll get to Jeremiah or Joshua here in just a few moments. But let me just read something here. It says the First Amendment, United States Constitution: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. I'm not a legal scholar here. I've never been to law school. Make no pretense of being a legal expert in that respect, but I can read and understand language. And this was written so that people could understand it. You know, I didn't have to go to law school to be able to understand what's written here in the plain text here. And there's nothing here that I find that suggests that if the school allows a high school football coach to pray following a game after on his own, not forcing other people to pray with him, and certainly not broadcasting the prayer and all that sort of stuff, how is that establishing a national religion or even a state religion? How is that causing the school to prefer one religion over another? I have no doubt that had the coach been a Muslim and after the game threw out his prayer rug and prayed to Allah, they probably wouldn't have said a thing. And yet, in this particular case, they went after him and stressing that this was a threat that students might have felt obligated to join Coach Kennedy's prayers. And this is just a case that was, to me, an open and shut case. Well, the decision by Justice Gorsuch was joined by Chief Justice Roberts at this time, as well as Associate Justices Thomas, Alito, Barrett, and Kavanaugh. And the three liberal justices dissented, and they upheld Coach Kennedy, and so it's great. So this is a win. They basically said that not allowing him to pray there was in effect a violation of the First Amendment. You know, here's the school trying to say it was a violation of the First Amendment for him to pray, But this was what Justice Gorsuch said. He said, respect for religious expressions is an indispensable or is indispensable to life in a free and diverse republic. Whether those expressions take place in a sanctuary or on a field, and whether they manifest through the spoken word or here a government entity sought to punish an individual for engaging in a brief, quiet, personal religious observance doubly protected by the free exercise and free speech clauses of the First Amendment. Well, thank God for that, and this is a great victory here. This will have ramifications in other court cases and challenges around the country. And so these are things that we celebrate. And then we can touch on a number of other things, but let me get over here to Joshua chapter 13. I keep mentioning it, but in Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, this is what struck me. The Bible says here in Joshua 13, starting verse 1, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Geshuri from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even under the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanites, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites and Ashdothites, the Eshkalonites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites and the Avites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites and Merara, which is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Gibeites, and all of Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baalgad, under Mount Hermon, unto the entering in of Hamath. You say, well, Pastor Al, what does this have to do with the Supreme Court decisions that we've had and some of the things that have been going on lately? Well, let me point out, Joshua had led Israel, the people, after the death of Moses. He led them into the land, and as you read through the previous 12 chapters of the book of Joshua, you see as they go in and they defeat the enemies in the land, and they conquer the land, and they begin dividing up the land, and Joshua now has aged, and as we see here in verse 1, the Bible says he was old and stricken in years, and God even points that out to him. He says, thou art old and stricken in years, and I don't think God is rubbing in the fact that he's old and stricken in years. I think what God is saying here is, you have been working hard for a long time. You have spent your life in the battle, in the thick of things. You have become old and stricken in years in my service. And then he says this at the end of verse 1, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. You know, when we're looking at some of these recent Supreme Court decisions, there's many people who are rejoicing, who are old and stricken in years, who have spent the better part of their life in the Lord's service, and in many cases fighting for some of these victories that we're seeing out of the Supreme Court here recently. There's a lot of people, for instance, on the abortion issue who have been fighting diligently since 1973 for nearly 50 years, 49 years ago when that decision, and many people were fighting before the decision was made because that decision was not made in a vacuum. And so people have been fighting this abortion issue for nearly 50 years, in some cases more than 50 years, certainly Roe v. Wade for 49 years. And many people have become old and stricken in years in the battle. They've been faithful. They have worked. They've labored. They've fought. They've prayed and struggled, and they have worked all this time, all these years, finally to see these major victories taking place. And just as Joshua had fought for many years and saw major victories take place in the land, God reminded him there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. We've seen some tremendous victories coming out of this court. We've seen some tremendous victories in state legislatures in Ohio and elsewhere across the states. We've seen some wonderful things. Many of us have labored for many years, but you know what? There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. I think this was telling Joshua here that you've worked hard, you've seen some results, but there's still a lot more to go. Don't sit back from the battle. Take a breather, gather your strength, but there's still a lot more to be done. There's yet very much land to be possessed. And we need to remember that and keep that in mind with the victories that we have seen in recent days, in recent weeks. It's nice to celebrate. It's nice to sit back and get a breather, get a little rest, and kind of regroup and get ready. But we need to remember, as the Lord told Joshua, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. There's still a lot to do. And we're going to be fighting this abortion issue on a state-by-state basis. If you think the left, with their bloodlust and their insatiable appetite for the death of children up to and including at the time of birth and even beyond birth, trying to call that abortion when it's nothing less than infanticide, if you think that they're going to go quietly into the night, you've got another thing coming. They're already challenging Ohio's heartbeat bill, which is now currently saving the lives of babies, no abortions after 6 weeks of age, six weeks along, from the time of conception when the baby's heartbeat is detected. And we're saving babies right now, and you think that people would be excited about that, but guess what? Planned Predators and some of those other associated groups are already in the business of trying to challenge Ohio's heartbeat law and call it unconstitutional. Well, it's an uphill battle for them, but they're bound to find a leftist judge somewhere that they can hopefully, in their minds, they want to get an injunction to stop the heartbeat bill from saving babies again, like they were able to do for the last couple of years after Governor DeWine signed it. But there's a fight right there that we need to watch. But let me look at a couple of other things here. When we look at this passage in Joshua chapter 13, it's kind of interesting. After God tells Joshua that there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed, he goes on in the next several verses. That's why I read through verse 6, where we're going through all those different areas and peoples and things that he's mentioning here. He says, "This is the land that yet remaineth." And he goes on to detail certain areas, and without going through all the names again, much of the area that he details in verse 2, has to do with, and even getting into verse number 4, it has to do with the borders that they had with the Philistines. And if you remember your Bible history, the Philistines were enemies of the Jewish people. They always were. And that's why after Rome booted the Jewish people out of their land in the 2nd century AD, after the temple had been destroyed in 70 AD, and then in the next century, the Romans ended up booting the Jewish people out of the land. They named it Philistia, or Philistine, which is Philistine, or also, as it's translated elsewhere in your King James Bible, Palestine. Philistia and Palestinia. Palestine, Philistine is basically the same word. You can look it up in the King James Bible. You'll find that Philistia and Palestinian are translated from the same thing. They're the same word. That's where the name Palestine came from. The Romans gave that name to the land as an insult to the Jews that they were throwing out of it, and by resurrecting the name of their ancient enemies, the Philistines. And what God was telling Joshua here is you expanded into the land. You fought many battles. You conquered the land. But there are still some fights to be considered. And that's the fights with the Philistines that you're going to have to contend with. And not only the Philistines there, but we also see there in verse number 4, the Amorites are mentioned there. And different ones all the way through into verse 5 where we were reading. And when we consider this, this is a reminder not to sit back, not to grow complacent. There's still battles to fight. Well, we still have battles to fight. This morning I sat down, I was compiling a list of things, and I thought what to mention. And I thought of several bills right here in Ohio that we as Christians have to join the fight in. We really do. There's a great website that you can go to. It's ohiohouse.gov. And if you'll go there, ohiohouse.gov, you can find a number of resources. And one of them is a thing that says legislation. If you click on that, it says search legislation. And you can put in a Senate bill, a House bill, a resolution, and the number in there, and it'll call up and give you all kinds of information. But let me give you, in the few minutes that we have left on the program today, some of the land that has yet to be possessed, some of the fights that we have yet to deal with here. And I've got 5 bills here, and not that these are necessarily greater than any other bills, not necessarily in any order, but I think these are some bills that are important. There are 2 bills, House Bill 420 and Senate Bill 50. Now, House Bill 420 is currently in the House Health Committee. Senate Bill 50 is currently in the Senate Health Committee. And they're basically the same bill. They prohibit conversion therapy for minors. They prohibit certain professionals, medical professionals, counselors, things like that, from engaging in conversion therapy. Say, well, what's conversion therapy? Conversion therapy is when a young person comes in and is talking to the doctor and says, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction. And the doctor says, well, we can help with that. Or a parent comes in and says, my child is a girl, but she identifies as a boy, or he's a boy and identifies as a girl. What can we do to help them? You know, because there is a mental disorder called gender dysphoria. It's a legitimate mental disorder. Well, these 2 bills, House Bill 420 and Senate Bill 50, would legally prohibit a medical professional, a therapist, a doctor, whatever, from trying to help a child overcome gender dysphoria or try to help a child that's struggling with same-sex attraction and try to help them and channel them into the right sort of understanding of their body and of their attitudes, their mental condition. And I'm not going to get in too much into the weeds on this, but both of these are currently there. They're not doing much of anything, but I think God's people need to be aware of this and pray and do what we can to help oppose these 2 bills, House Bill 420 and Senate Bill 50, that prohibit conversion therapy for minors. Another bill, and this is one that I would support, this is the Senate Bill 504. This is the increased penalty for disturbing a religious worship meeting. This was passed by the House recently. It's currently in the State Judiciary Committee, and this basically will up the penalties and put a little more teeth into the law for groups that come in and try to disrupt worship meetings, public worship meetings, either in a church or a synagogue or something like that, or even a Zoom meeting online. Some churches have meetings like that for different things. And this is a needed bill, and as I said, it's currently in the Senate Judiciary Committee, passed the House already, and once it goes through the Senate, passes the Senate, it'll be on to the governor for a signature. Looks like it's heading that way. Pray for it, support it if you can. And then there's a House Bill 616, regards promotion, teaching divisive, inherently racist comments. This would go against the critical race theory, teaching critical race theory, and give us some ammunition there. It's currently in the House State and Local Government Committee. And then there's, we've got House Bill 134, the Enact Testing Your Faith Act, which has passed the House. It's currently in the Senate Workfare and Higher Education Committee. Go online, you can check these out. I'll try to get some of these on our website that you can look them up. These are areas where there's much land to be possessed, and we as Christians can allow our biblical values to be shared in the public sphere. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Have a happy 4th Independence Day. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.